The sermon for the third week of Easter is from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 24, verses 36 to 49. The sermon is entitled, Proclaiming Certainty. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Indeed, this week we had our monthly pastor circuit meeting for circuits 1 and 2 in the Pacific Southwest District. And of course, it was my turn to host here at the meeting here at Faith. And, you know, at every pastor's meeting, it's such a great joy to be with the guys as we study the scriptures, but also a time of receiving the word and sacrament. So anytime there's a host, the pastor preaches. And based on the reading from last week's first reading of the book of Acts, as we remember that the apostles preached with great power, they preached with the assurance, with certainty, with the power of the resurrection. And thus they preached boldly, with great assurance. For the strife was indeed over, as the battle has been won. You know, this is the certainty of our proclamation. And I reminded the pastors, the word is sufficient. There is nothing more. This is our boldness. This is our certainty. But of course, the devil tempts us, casting doubt on this proclamation as if there was something more than just preaching repentance and forgiveness. And even for the church here at Faith, I think in our ever-changing world, it is our urge to keep up with the times, to stay relevant, to be hip, right, as they say in Bible study. That somehow we can, you know, bring this assurance, this certainty, we can grow the church in so many ways possible, even to the point of straying from the assurance and the certainty of God's word, replacing God's word with smoke and mirrors, anything to stay relevant, anything to somehow, by our own power, grow those very numbers. Yes, at first it seems like a well-intentioned way, yet we subtly shift from the very words of certainty, that faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of Christ. Yes, we want in our nature something innovative, something new, right, to the itching ear, all in the hopes of finding some comfort, some assurance, some certainty that we can bring to the table even for the church. And, you know, I think about evangelism, right? You know, this text that we hear today is very missional, right? It's a call to witness, a call to mission. And rather than trusting in the certainty of God's word, that his word will not return void, that his word, his will is done, this is our certainty. Yet when we go out to tell people about Jesus, what happens? We start to shake. We start to doubt. We start to second guess our words as if we somehow bring something more to the table rather than trusting in the certainty of God's word. And there we find ourselves discouraged. As the devil says, yeah, that's right, you're not good enough. Stop that. No longer do you outreach because it simply doesn't work. I think today in our gospel text, whether it is the pastor, the church, the evangelism field, or even our daily life in this faith, we are certainly reminded of his word and the certainty that this word gives. You know, Jesus confirms to his disciples, not just any confirmation, but that in this resurrected Lord, the resurrection, Jesus was standing in their midst. And he says, touch me and see. Not only that, but he also ate with them. And in this reality, profound as it was for the disciples, Jesus proceeds to teach them. These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, Jesus says, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. He was taking them back to all that he had taught them before his death. In his life of ministry, he was looking back to all that he had taught them. And there in their midst, there was the victor. There was the king resurrected, basically saying, I told you what I would do. And now I am here with you after the cross. Here I am in the resurrection. This is certainty, my friends. And now Jesus would continue. And I love this part of the scriptures. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. I think this is our certainty. That our Lord opens our minds to the Word. In other words, Jesus needed to open our minds to the Word. It implies that we by nature are what? The opposite. That we are closed. And this is true. Ever since the fall, everything was closed. And therefore, we say in the third article of the Creed, I believe that I cannot, by my own human reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. Everything is closed due to sin. I cannot, by my own power or by my own strength, or open my mind somehow. No, we are closed shut. Sin and separation is our lot. And how indeed, how powerless we truly are. We are powerless. And this is the great deception, my friends. You know, that's why, you know, when we speak of evangelism, it is of great joy. Because it's not about you and me. It's solely about resting upon the certainty and the power of Christ and his word. Right? And as we connect that to our life of faith, you know, the great deception is that we somehow have that power, that we have that strength, that we have the ability to somehow open our hearts and minds to the Lord. And the fact is, we cannot. You know, I might say I decided, I chose, I commit. You know, all these I words subject to the verb. But it's in these very statements that, well, we tell ourselves that we have the ability to open ourselves up to Scripture. It's as if we can convince ourselves that we have the power to undo the floodgates of the fall. Right? Speaking of floodgates, the rain has started. And how foolish this sounds, doesn't it? Right? You know, we think we have this power. We think we can open our minds to the Scriptures. Yet in our sin, we cannot. We need this word to be opened to us. And it always reminds me of Nicodemus in John chapter 3, where there this well-learned Jew, he knew the law. Yet at the end of the day, it was Jesus who taught him. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Holy Spirit. In other words, this is the work of God, to open you to the Scriptures, to open you to the certainty and the promise that has brought you into this faith. And that's the beauty of our faith, is that certainty resides in what God has done for us. Now, the sacraments, holy baptism, this is not your doing. No, this is the work of God upon you, wrapping you in his robe, wrapping you in the righteousness of his grace. This is where he opened to you the very word by this very gift of faith as he baptized you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Yes, indeed, you were brought into this faith. And I tell you this honestly as a pastor, I think my greatest pitfall is to think that I can bring something to the table to rescue and save the church. The devil always tells me, you are the Christ. You do it. Jesus is not enough. You know, I think, you know, when we think about this life of faith and our trust, you know, this is our great temptation. You know, we have the word. We have this bold promise that we have Christ and what he has done for us in his death and resurrection, yet we find ourselves reverting back to our flesh, to this thing we call self-trust. You know, our Lord opens us to the scriptures, yet at the same time, our nature says what? Close ourselves. Close off from the scriptures. Go your own way, right? When you're speaking this gospel to those that need to hear it, there you leave it. God is working. Yet in our nature, what do we say? I hope I said the right thing. I hope I can win them over. I hope I've done enough. And even in your Christian life, you know, when you are called to do so many things in life, how burdensome it becomes. And trust me, this is real for all of us. You know, today Jesus calls us to his very word, the proclamation of certainty. And that is simply the call to the church to preach repentance and forgiveness. To preach certainty, the certainty that is only of Christ and his word. And there the Lord will command the apostles to do this very thing. You know, repentance is something that I think our nature does not want to address. We just want to live as we desire, and, you know, we want to hear all the good things and just kind of go by our own way. Yet the call of repentance is very humbling. And by this very word, we are called to acknowledge our sins, to shed ourselves from that self-righteous charade, to strip ourselves from our own trusts. Of course, the old Adam says otherwise, but here you are in the Word as God calls you to repentance. Remember, there are 210,000 words you hear in a week. And there are many words that are trying to tear you away from God and his promises. But now is the time to hear the word that you need to hear, and that is the call to repentance, that we are poor, miserable sinners. You know, the words of the world will not tell you this. But indeed, we are beggars. We are broken. We are closed from his word. And after a long week, this is the word that you need to hear. And thus, in faith, we confess our sins. The Lord is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is our assurance, my friends, that when we do confess our sins, we're not wondering if we are forgiven. You know, repentance doesn't just leave us there on our own little island of guilt and shame and wondering if we have measured up. No, repentance shows clearly that we are fallen, we are broken, but there is Christ. This is what it means to proclaim certainty. This is your assurance that your forgiveness has been won, your forgiveness delivered, your forgiveness by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Your sins are indeed forgiven. Jesus doesn't leave us alone and says, you figure it out yourself. No, he gives you certainty. There with the disciples, he shows them great assurance. I am here with you. I've done all that I said, and I've delivered you from the darkness of death. And in the same way, he gives you this word. Out of the 210,000 words that you hear in this week, what is the most life-giving? What is it? It's here, right now, the forgiveness of all your sins. You know, Jesus, He died in your place. He stood in your place. He is your atonement. You know, when we speak of death and resurrection, when we speak of the promise and the deliverance, it is Jesus who conquered sin and death for you. Now, there's nothing in this world that can give you this certainty. No degree, no status, no place in this world can give you the assurance and the certainty that our Lord gives. And this is the word that you need to hear. From repentance to forgiveness. This is not just a platitude or a feel-good moment. No, rather, this is where we proclaim that the grave has been opened, that death has been defeated, and indeed you are forgiven. Friends, if your guilt is burdening you this day and you're wondering if you're forgiven, you are. Because your forgiveness is given to you by Christ alone. His bloody sacrifice. He is not here. He has risen. And there you stand in victory, as this word gives you the certainty. Yes, the devil may shake this assurance, and he says, "No, are you sure?" "Yes," we say. The empty tomb speaks for us. For where there is forgiveness, there is eternal life and salvation. So take heart, my friends. Rest upon this very word. As you live, move, and have your being in Christ Jesus, as you love and serve your neighbors, as you give the words to your neighbor who needs to hear the words of Christ, yet you seem like it's a lost cause, have no fear. Continue. Because the word is our certainty, and that Jesus Christ died for sinners. He died for you. His death and resurrection for the forgiveness of your sins. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sunday sermon from Faith Lutheran Church in Moore Park, California. For more information, visit us on the web at faithmoorepark.com.